All right, I guess we better do it. I'd like to welcome everyone to the February 27th, 2025 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi-judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in, and witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah ZBA are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to decisions of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals must be filed through the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have any cell phones or noise-making devices, please turn them off at this time. And if you will, stand and join me with the Pledge of Allegiance and the prayer. Father, we just thank you for the time to come together today to do the business of this city. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of living in such a beautiful city. And we ask you, Lord, give us wisdom today. Help us to make good decisions. And just help us to know what to do. Father, we ask your blessings on the people and the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. In Jesus' name, amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First order of business, if you're going to speak or give testimony today, will you please stand, and we're going to have a swearing in to witnesses. And raise your right hand and repeat after me. I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Thank you. Okay, we have one item requested to be removed from the final agenda. That's 1212 Siler Avenue, side setback for accessory structure, 25-000586. Do I have a motion to remove this from, or to have this withdrawn?
Second.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to remove, and Mr. Condon has seconded that. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes, and this item will be withdrawn. Okay, next we have the approval of the minutes from the November 21st, 2024 meeting. Do I hear a motion to approve the minutes of November?
So moved.
All right, Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes for November.
Second.
Second by Mr. Condon. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the November minutes are approved. Now we have the December minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the December meeting?
So moved.
All right.
Second.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to approve the minutes from the December meeting, and Mr. Condon has seconded that. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the final agenda as you see it before you?
So moved.
Second. All right, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the final agenda, seconded by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay, the motion passes and the agenda is approved. First, we're going to be hearing 12B Road. This is a variance for relief from nonconformity for side and rear yard setback for nonconforming accessory structure, 25-000516.
This is Sadie Eschleren, Assistant Planner with Development Services, here to talk about 12B Road. So the petitioner is requesting the following two variances in association with converting an accessory structure into an ADU in the RSF6 zoning district to reduce the side yard setback of an accessory structure from 5 feet to 3 feet and to reduce the rear yard setback of an accessory structure from 5 feet to 3 feet. Here's the aerial and site map to provide some visual context on the location of the property, which is located in the Victory Manor neighborhood. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is 8,220 square feet, which is 60 feet wide by 137 feet deep, and the property is conforming. The main structure was developed as a single-family residence in 1943. It is 1,736 square feet and is conforming. There is a detached accessory structure, which measures 592.5 square feet, which currently exists. And per the petitioner, they had acquired the home with the structure as an ADU, and they discovered the ADU conversion was not properly permitted. And the structure itself predates NUZO, and it encroaches into the rear and side yard setbacks. So according to Section 874AIII of the Zoning Ordinance regarding ADUs, it requires rear and side yard setbacks of 5 feet. The petitioner is requesting 2 feet of relief for both rear and side yard setbacks. It's also important to note that the lot is large enough to meet the minimum lot size requirement for an ADU. Additionally, the building footprint of the ADU is less than 40% of the principal structure. However, the principal structure may not be separated by 10 feet from the ADU. The request is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance, but the structure was built before current development standards, and so the configuration of structures and uses on the lot is consistent. Though it is not necessarily a hardship, the accessory structure already exists on the property, and it would confer special privilege, but variance relief is a remedy afforded to all similarly situated property owners. Here, I'll scroll down, and you guys can take a look at the drawing of the layout. And in conclusion, MPC staff recommends approval of the following two variances in association with converting an accessory structure into an ADU in the RSF 6 zoning district with one condition. One, to reduce the side yard setback of an accessory structure from 5 feet to 3 feet. And two, to reduce the rear yard setback of an accessory structure from 5 feet to 3 feet with the condition that the petitioner shall install gutters to divert runoff from adjoining properties.
Thank you. Is there any questions for staff? Thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward? State your name for the record.
Oh, she is online, I believe.
Okay, what's the name?
Jennifer Saha.
Good morning, yes. My name is Jennifer Saha.
Good morning, Jennifer. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Nope. Sorry, this is my first time doing this. You covered everything. But, yeah, I purchased the house about 2.5 years ago. Was told everything was fine and up to code. Unfortunately, my husband and I realized that it was not, so we're just trying to kind of do everything retroactively. Everything that they said was kind of where we're at. So.
Okay, and you're okay with staff's conditions that they recommended?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? Are there any online? Okay. Mr. Jones,
no,
anything you'd like to say? Mr. Condon? Mr. Ball?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Someone care to make a motion?
I motion we approve the requested variance.
With conditions.
With conditions?
With conditions.
All right. Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the requested variances with staff conditions. Is there a second to the motion?
I second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. If there's no discussion on the motion, Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and variances are granted with conditions. Next, we're going to hear 202 Fair Street, variance to side and rear yard setbacks, 24-006580.
This is Sadie Eschleren again with Development Services, here to talk about 202 Fair Street. The petitioner requests the following two variances in association with the expansion of a kitchen within a place of worship in the RSF 6 zoning district. One, to reduce the side yard setback from 20 feet to 13.5 feet, and two, to reduce the rear yard setback from 30 feet to 20 feet. Here is the aerial and site map for you to view. So the property is located in the Woodville neighborhood, and according to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is 13,150 square feet, which is 100 square feet by 131.5 feet, and the property is conforming. The structure is a place of worship built in 1980. It is nonconforming in regard to side and rear setbacks. The petitioner proposes to expand the existing kitchen through construction of a side addition to the building, and the addition will encroach into side and rear setbacks, though the rear setback will align with the rest of the building. So the structure has a building footprint of 4,035 square feet, and the proposed addition will increase that by 600 square feet. And to note, it will not exceed the permissible lot coverage of 40%. So according to section 5.1.2 of the zoning ordinance, it requires side setbacks of 20 feet and a rear yard setback of 30 feet. The petitioner's proposal will encroach into the side setback by 6.5 feet and then the rear setback by 10 feet. So the requested variance is generally consistent with the ordinance. The request represents the expansion of an existing structure that was built prior to the current development standards. The proposed modifications involve an existing structure, while that is not necessarily a hardship, and it is likely not financial in nature. And then here is the proposed placement of the additions on the property. So in conclusion, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested two variances in association with the proposed kitchen addition, one to reduce the side yard setback from 20 feet to 13.5 feet, and two to reduce the rear yard setback from 30 feet to 20 feet.
Thank you. Does anyone have questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Dontre Wallace, and I just do a lot of drafting in the area, and they kind of brought this project to me. Just asked me would I help them out with, getting everything together. But as it stands, the area that we looking to add, it's more or less just like when you have like an overflow of worshipers, and or if you have an event, the current area that they have, which is their fellowship hall, is just, you know, once you get a certain amount of people in there, just too small. So basically they just want to have enough room to be able to, you know, house as many people as they can when they have different functions. So, and that's pretty much it.
Okay. Is there any questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Miss Diane? Dame? That's Mr. Wallace. Yeah, we have another one. Anderson? Aldessa?
Good morning.
Morning.
Pamela Anderson, President of Woodville. I am speaking on behalf of the Woodville Community Action Organization. We have no opposition to the request of the New Zion Missionary Baptist Church, as long as all variances are followed by the zoning board guidelines as permitted. I grew up in Woodville. I also attended New Zion Missionary Baptist Church, and we still do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak, or anyone online? All right.
No, sir.
Mr. Wallace, do you have anything you want to add?
No.
Okay. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you want to say? Mr. Condon?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we accept staff recommendations.
Staff is recommending approval for the requested variances.
Yes.
Second.
Mrs. Jones has made a motion to grant the requested variances as per staff recommendations. It's seconded by Mr. Turner. There's no discussion on the motion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right. Motion passes and the requested variances are approved. Next, we're going to hear 2206 East 38th Street. Variance to building size for ADU 24-006742.
This is Sadie Ashlerent again with Development Services, here to talk about 2206 East 38th Street. The petitioner is requesting a variance to the maximum ADU size permitted in relation to the principal dwelling for a parcel within the RSF6 zoning district. The proposed ADU's building footprint is 55% of the principal dwelling, where a max of 40% is permitted. Here is the aerial and site map. The property is located in the Victory Heights neighborhood, and according to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is 10,350 square feet, which is 90 feet by 115 feet, and the parcel is conforming and has lane access. The principal dwelling on the property was built in 1949 and is conforming. It has a living area of somewhere between 1,057 square feet and 1,200 square feet. According to section 874DI of the zoning ordinance, it says the building footprint of the accessory dwelling unit shall be a maximum of 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling, not to exceed 700 square feet. The petitioner is requesting to exceed the 40% max to establish an ADU that is 576 square feet, or a max of between 422 or 480 square feet is allowed. The proposed ADU meets all other requirements, including setbacks. So moving on to the analysis portion, it is not consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance in that it states that an ADU shall not exceed 40% of the building footprint of the principal dwelling. In terms of special conditions, the primary dwelling is relatively small with regard to the parcel in which it sits. As a result, a small ADU would result were the standards strictly applied, and the parcel is also too small to subdivide into two conforming parcels. And the requested variance could be financially motivated. Here is a proposed concept plan for the requested variance. And in conclusion, MPC staff recommends denial of the requested variance to the ADU building size maximum of 40% in relation to the principal structure.
Is there any questions for staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward, state your name for the record?
Good morning. My name is Brianna Paxton. I'm here on behalf of property owner Donald Callahan. I think my slides are in here someplace. Thank you so much. I wanted to orient you to where the Victory Heights neighborhood is in Savannah on the east side. And this is configuration of the lot. As you can see, it is considerably larger than a lot of the surrounding properties. Our context that we're looking at, again, it's a large lot and a very small house, which is only about 1,000 square feet. So we are asking for a 55% building size ratio. Here are photos of the little house. As you can see, it's set back from the property. This is very typical American small house, which is very similar to a lot of other properties in the neighborhood. On the photo on the right, you can see that our property is set back a bit further than some of the other ones on the block. Where this tree is approximately where the proposed ADU will go. Apologize for the trailer and such being in the yard. The property owner was replacing the roof of the principal dwelling at the time. So again, the proposed ADU will go approximately where this trailer is parked. And here are views to the east and west down the lane. Historically, this has been a teeny tiny house on a large lot. And you'll note in blue and up and down some of these properties, there are a smattering of existing dwellings, lane dwellings around here. And still to this day, I've marked several yellow stars here to denote where there are existing ADUs or accessory structures in the nearby vicinity. And this map also shows us that a lot of the other houses around have been added onto and are in fact larger than our principal structure. I went back and did some more specific research into the exact size of this building. I believe the heated square feet is 10,057 and the total building footprint is 1208. Our proposed ADU, the heated square foot, will be 576 and the total footprint will be 672. It will be a one-bedroom structure with a nice living room and a six-foot porch off the front. That way we can stay under that 700-square-foot threshold. If you weren't aware, almost 40% of households in Savannah are single-person households, and right now only about 17% of our housing stock has one bedroom. So this is filling a need for smaller one bedroom housing units across Savannah. I've also updated the site plan to better reflect the heated square foot versus outdoor porch area. So you can see the relationship of this proposed ADU to the main structure. And again, this is set very far back from the street, and we propose to set it back 10 feet from the main house to, again, ensure it's subordinate to the principal dwelling. I also wanted to point out, when I was reviewing minutes from 2024, approving building size variances around the 50 to 55% has happened, and we're trying to be respectful about keeping it under the 700 square foot mark overall. And I'll take any questions.
Any questions for the petitioner?
No.
Okay, well, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
Is anyone, member of the public, that would like to speak concerning this petition? Okay. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
Seems like a good project. I mean, with the zoning the way it is, they could tear down the existing house and build a 4,000 square foot house, which wouldn't fit as well within the neighborhood as adding kind of a light footprint second dwelling. So I like it.
Mr. Cotton?
I agree with Mr. Ball. The 40% rule is, I think, unfortunately, not applicable in certain situations. And when we're dealing with houses that have small footprints, if it was a two-story house and it was 2,000 square feet, but the first floor is 1,000 square feet, you still are only allowed to build a 400 square foot ADU. So I think this is why we exist, really, to remedy these types of conflicts in the rule.
You're right. I agree. Mrs.
I don't have any.
Mrs. Jones. All right. Would someone care to make a motion?
Greg, do you want to make a motion?
I motion we approve the requested variance.
All right, Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the requested variance.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. There's no discussion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is granted as requested. Next, we're going to hear 1217 East 33rd Street. This is a variance to reduce the minimum lot frontage and side yard setback within a TR2 zoning district. 25-000502.
This is Sadie Eshleren again with Development Services, here to talk about 1217 East 33rd Street. The petitioner requests the following variances in association with subdividing in the TR2 zoning district. One, to reduce the minimum lot width requirement from 40 feet to 30 feet, and two, to reduce the side yard setback from 3 feet to 1.96 feet. Here is the aerial and site map. So the property is located in the Live Oak neighborhood, and according to the Chatham County tax assessor, says the property is 7,920 square feet, which is 60 feet by 132 feet, and the parcel is conforming. The principal dwelling is two stories and was built in 1910. It has a building footprint of 1,288 square feet and is conforming in its current state. The petitioner proposes to subdivide the parcel into two, which would create two parcels with non-conforming lot widths of 30 feet each. So section 5.9.5 of the zoning ordinance requires a minimum lot width of 40 feet for single family detached dwellings on a street and a minimum side setbacks of 3 feet. The petitioner is requesting 10 feet of relief for lot width and 1.04 feet of relief for the side setback. It's important to note that the minimum lot area required in this district is 3,000 square feet. When subdivided, each parcel will be 3,960 square feet, which is conforming. Additionally, the right-of-way that will provide access in the rear is a street and not a lane, as is normally anticipated by the ordinance. The request is thus not unmerited in that a parcel that abuts a lane requires only 30 feet of width versus the 40 feet for abutting a street. So the lot width variance is consistent with the zoning ordinance because the parcel still maintains a way of access. However, the side setback variance is not consistent with the zoning ordinance because setbacks promote minimum building separation for fire safety. Additionally, the placement of the existing structure should be taken into consideration. However, it is not necessarily a hardship, and the request is likely financial in nature. And then here's the survey for the property. And moving on to some discussion, a right-of-way encroachment permit from traffic engineering is going to be required for the new parcel, and building safety regulations require a minimum of 5 feet of separation between buildings, which is relevant for a building permit. So, in conclusion, MPC staff recommends approval of the following variances with a condition in association with subdividing in the TR2 zoning district. One, to reduce the minimum lot width requirement from 40 feet to 30 feet, and two, to reduce the side yard setback from 3 feet to 1.96 feet with the condition that the final plat must demonstrate a building envelope with a side setback of not less than 4.04 feet for the newly created parcel.
Thank you. Are there any questions for staff?
Please. Go ahead, Mr. Condon. Can you talk a little bit more about, I'm a little bit confused on this right-of-way encroachment permit. Why would they need that?
Good morning, sir. Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services. So for this particular parcel that's to be created, there is no current curb cut.
Oh, for the curb cut.
Exactly. Yeah. So right now, I believe there is something that resembles a curb cut that is at the rear at about this location. I don't think it's wide enough, but likely that would be the point that would be expanded. But there wasn't one anticipated here.
Now I understand. Thank you very much. Great.
Thank you. Any more questions for staff? Would the petitioner please come forward?
Good morning.
Morning.
Jamie Stecky, TR Long Engineering. I'm representing the owner on this. So this lot was originally, when they were City Atlas, they were 30-foot wide lots. It got sold as a 60-foot lot. Somewhere along the way, it got combined. We actually found the pins for the old 30s. So we're just trying to put it back where it was. The new zoning just requires the 40-foot on the front end because it's a street and not an alley on the back. So we're just trying to ask that we have the reduction and treat it like an alley.
Okay. Any questions for the petitioner? Go ahead, Mr. Connor.
I completely understand why you want to do this, and it's a bit of a technicality. That's at least one of the two variances is a technicality, right? If it was called the lane, that variance wouldn't be on there. Everyone knows about me that I always get nervous about houses that are too close together. As a builder, I don't want to be standing straight up on ladders. And I know you don't have any control over this, but do you have any problem with the restriction that in the second part of the variance request where they must maintain at least a 5-foot distance from the other?
No, sir. I don't think that will be a problem in the line. And there's also a possibility that they may not keep the house, but at the moment we're pursuing as we are.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That's it. Any other questions for petitioner? Thank you.
Thank you.
Any members of the public wish to speak on this petition? Are there any online?
No, sir.
All right. And just so everybody knows, Mr. Plunk has joined us online. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Would someone care to make a motion?
I motion that we approve in accordance with staff recommendation.
Okay. Would you like to add Mr. Connor's conditions, or would you like to amend his motion?
I'll let him do it.
Okay.
Because with the conditions.
With the conditions set forth.
Okay.
By the. So the final plat must demonstrate a building envelope of the side setback of not less than 4.04 feet for the newly created parcel.
And is that side setback, is that covered to 5 feet that you? Okay, okay. So then, Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the.
Oh, hold on 1 second.
I have a question.
Yeah.
With that, if the house is torn down, should we have that?
Come forward and do it in the microphone, please.
Could you make the motion? And I know I'm asking, if we tear down the house, that requirement goes away and we go back to regular setbacks.
Yes, but the regular setback is 5 feet, no? Or is
yes.
It, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So we.
Yeah. The variance is you don't need a variance if you knock down the other house.
That's right. That's what.
Yeah. So it wouldn't matter.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve the requested variance according to staff recommendations with the specified condition. Is there a second to the motion?
Seconded by
Mr. Condon. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the variance is approved with conditions. Next, we're going to hear 1033 Milton Street, variance to side yard setback, 25-000310.
This is Sadie Eschlerent again with Development Services, here to talk about 1033 Milton Street. The petitioner requests variances to reduce both side setbacks of a proposed primary dwelling from 5 feet to 3 feet within the RSF 6 zoning district. Here is the aerial and site map. So the property is located in the Liberty City neighborhood. According to the Chatham County Tax Assessor, it says the property is 2,100 square feet, 20 feet by 105 feet. The property is non-conforming regarding the lot width and area in the RSF 6 zoning district. The lot is currently vacant. The petitioner is proposing to build a primary dwelling on the property to be 826 square feet, which would be 14 feet by 59 feet. Section 5.7.5 of the zoning ordinance requires side setbacks of 5 feet in the RSF 6 zoning district. The petitioner's proposal will encroach into both side setbacks by 2 feet. The variance is generally consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance. Lots that are 60 feet wide and 100 feet deep with a minimum lot area of 600 square feet are ordinarily anticipated in the RSF 6 zoning district. In terms of special conditions, it is a hardship that the lot is small in size in comparison to other lots in the same zoning district, and the literal interpretation of the regulations would deprive the applicant of rights commonly enjoyed by other properties, and it would not confer special privilege. Here is a proposed site layout for 1033 Milton Street. And in conclusion, MPC staff recommends approval of the requested variances to reduce both side setbacks of a proposed primary dwelling from 5 feet to 3 feet in the RSF 6 zoning district.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? All right, thank you very much. Would the petitioner please come forward?
How you doing?
Good morning.
All right. My name is Robert Price. I'm the owner of Price Builders Custom Homes of Savannah.
Good morning. Anita Smith Dixon, Executive Director for Community Health and Services Agency.
Good morning. Is there anything y'all would like to say?
Well, thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity. This, again, supports our affordable housing efforts in Savannah. We know that in Savannah, we are housing cost challenged or housing, even the number of units challenged. And so we hope that you all would support our request.
Are there any questions for the petitioner? No. Thank you all very much. Athena Salters, are you here?
Hi,
Aretha. Oh, Aretha, okay.
Also,
state your name for the record so I can hear it.
It is Arnita Salters.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Mrs. Salters?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I would like to apologize not having my picture submitted within 48 hours. This is new for me, so I want to apologize. Those are just a few pictures in reference to where the property is located, and there's a new house already erected next to it on to your right, in which it has very good variance in lot size. However, the house that Mr. Price is requesting to be built is much smaller, and on that lot size, they want a 20-foot wide house, which is going to be close to the church, New Zion Baptist Church. The lot there by the church is the parking area that house will be located on. There will be no wiggle room for that house to even, for someone who moved in the house, to have any leeway on the side because of the parking area to the church. So it's not, the church parking lot is not what I would like to say. is not a legal parking area, but that's the only parking area they can have that's off street. So they have to park on their grass. And based upon all our lots up that we do have, most of the houses are built on 60 feet wide lot by 105. And that 5 feet to 3 feet variance, the house is just going to be too close together. And if you can see from the houses that he just built, that smaller house would not look correct next to this house here. This is a beautiful house, but the other house, no. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Shelter. Queen Reeves, are you here?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Queen Reeves. I'm the president of Summerside Neighborhood Association. And I noticed when the lady from MPC said that we were Liberty City, we're not Liberty City. We are Summerside Neighborhood. There's only one way in, one way out of our neighborhood. We are opposing this house, mainly because of the size of it, the lot size. He wants to go from 5 feet side to 3 feet, which is going to put him right on the house that he's just built next to this. And allowing variance for this will mean that any and everybody decided they want to come in and put a little house in the area can put a little house in the area. We're not against affordable housing. What we are opposing is little tiny houses packed into an area that's already has a lot of houses. We would like the houses to look similar to what's already in the area, not to have the area change. We do have a flooding problem in the area, so packing a whole bunch of people in the area will cause an additional problem. We have three schools at the mouth of our subdivision. You have to pass them to get to us. So we are looking at additional traffic within the area itself. All we say is that if you're going to build, how about building a house on at least 45 wide lots? And we are opposing this house. And furthermore, it's on a dead end street too as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak? Would the petitioner like to come forward and rebut public comment?
Thank you so much. And while we appreciate the concerns of the neighborhood, this particular house and this particular lot, it is rightly sized for the lot. Of course, we are asking for a little bit of a variance, but there is parking for this particular house in front of the property. So they won't be parking on the grassy area, but there is a designated driveway. Thank you.
But not for them. Go ahead. There's some questions for you.
Yes.
I just want to clarify something. I think there's a bit of a misunderstanding. The house is not 20 feet wide. The house is 14 feet wide.
That's correct.
Secondly, the house that was just constructed, what's the side yard setback on that? And since you built it, I'm sure you know what that is.
It's five foot.
So there'll be 8 feet between the two houses.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Morrow, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
And I'd excuse my ignorance. I may have even missed it. But all that they're asking for the setback, side yard setback variances, and this is a 20-foot wide lot. Why is that the only variance they need? Typically, you would have to have a wider.
I'm sorry, if you would have to have a wider.
A wider lot to build on.
Well, so this is a great example of when you adopt new development standards along with a new ordinance in areas that have already been built. So basically this is an existing lot of record. The reason why staff is able to support this is because the ordinance, in essence, does support the idea that we should encourage building on existing lots of record that are already in place. It doesn't outright say that variances should be given, but the implication is that because this is an existing lot of record, the ordinance does give the right to develop a single family home on any parcel that is already zoned for residential use. And so this does meet that standard. It is up to this board whether or not it deems that any particular request is actually a hardship within the meaning of the ordinance.
So it could be built, the 20 foot wide lot can be built on by right?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. Any other questions for staff, petitioner, anybody else? All right, Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you want to say?
Not at this time.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plant?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
I mean, I'm sure we wouldn't have to look very far to find a precedent for a 20-foot lot with a 14-foot wide house on it, so certainly sensitive to concerns, but it seems like a good fit.
Mr. Turner?
No comment.
Okay. Someone care to make a motion?
Motion we approve the requested variance.
All right. Mr. Ball has made a motion to approve the variance as requested. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 601 Indian Street, Unit A. This is a variance for a sign.
So, morning. I am Kelly Mitchell, Senior Preservation Planner here at the MPC. As you already stated, the applicant is requesting some variances for signage. The property in question is 601 Indian Street. This is an apartment complex with residential on the first floor. The project came in too historic with two awning signs and two window signs, as well as with the request for four variances. This was heard at the February HDBR meeting. Our board had no issues with the window signs, so that's no point of discussion here. The main question was with the over awning signs. Again, the applicant requests four variances in total. One of the requests was for location of the signs. Staff found that this request was not necessary. It's possibly due to the zoning code saying that awning signs can't be at residential buildings. Since this unit is commercial, clearly non-residential, so that variance is not necessary. Two of the variances were for internal illumination as well as for the size of the sign. The applicant wanted signs that were 25 square foot each. Zoning codes allows up to 20 in this case. They also want both signs to be internally illuminated. Also within the zoning code, it says internally lit signs cannot be opposite residential units. The sign facing Indian Street would have been opposite the Baxley apartment complex, residential units on its upper floors, so that would not be allowed per the zoning code. As of yesterday, the applicant has updated their design to have external illumination as well as reduced size. So those two variances are no longer necessary. And just for reference, our board did deny the recommendation of those variances as well. The final variance is for the standard that reads, one such sign will be permitted per business, per building facade when an entrance is located, providing public access to said business. 601 Indian is a corner unit with a kind of angled entrance facing both Farm and Indian Streets. In previous cases, staff has allowed for two signs in these situations because it is technically facing two different streets. So staff did recommend approval of this variance, and our board did agree as well and recommended approval of the variance as well. And just to show you the full recommendation from our board, upper portion is recommended approval for the awning signs, and then below it was for the variances as well. Again, the internal illumination and the size of the signs are no longer applicable because they were willing to adjust the sign. Do you have any questions or concerns?
Yeah, so there were originally four requested variances. Which ones are we considering right now?
So it'll be this one right here. for the number of signs.
Number of signs.
Yes. So the internal illumination and the size of the signs have been addressed by the applicant as of yesterday.
Right. He's just going to explore external illumination at a later time.
Yeah. So
which is permitted.
Yeah. So the design that we got shows it's external, and that's allowed per the ordinance, and we've approved that on numerous occasions.
Okay. So we're talking about giving him a variance for the number of signs because he's only permitted one. And what's the other one?
There'll be two of these. Let me pull up Google. This is the property right here. They want one awning sign on this elevation and one awning sign on this elevation.
Okay.
But there's two variants.
Yeah. What is the second variance?
There's only one variance.
But we're only considering one.
We're only considering one.
It was four and now it's one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry for the confusion there.
Any other questions for staff? All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Woodward, are you online?
Yep.
Would you like to say anything?
Hello.
Hello.
Yes. Hi, Justin Woodward here for Complete Signs representing Foxtail. I think Kelly did a great job of going over everything. We're trying to be a little ambitious here with lighted signs and trying to make them a little more visible, but we were running into roadblocks at every step of the way. That's why the number of variances has gone from four to one. We also received a lot of conflicting information during the whole process about things like the number of signs. So the actual client here has decided to basically just reduce to meet standards so that we're not having to start over at the beginning. And we are willing to reduce the size and take out the illumination. And as we understand, we can just present exactly how we're going to illuminate that coming in the near future. But as of today, we are just asking that you please allow us to have the two signs since we are on a corner, which is recessed into the building and hard to see as it is.
All right, there seems to have been a little confusion. We thought that that Mr. Woodward was the petitioner, and he's actually representing the sign company. The petitioner is Mrs. Jones, who is here with us. Mrs. Jones, I'd like to invite you to come speak your piece.
Good morning. I'm Tracy Jones.
Morning. Do you have anything you'd like to say?
Justin's my proxy, but I'm here in person.
Do you have anything you want to add?
No, we appreciate the opportunity to present our sign request to you all this morning. I know there's been a lot of confusion with the different variance requests, and I think that's made it a bit complex for people, you know, to dissect each one on its own merit. So I guess right now we're just looking at the fact that we are on facing two streets, FAM Street and Indian Street, and we'd like to be able to have the two signs as proposed.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Well, thank you very much. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak? Just for the record, that Mr. Woodward represents the sign company. I guess he's speaking as a member of the public. No one else?
No, sir.
All right. We'll enter in board discussion. Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Turner?
No.
Mrs. Jones?
No.
All right, would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the variance request for additional signage, allowing for two signs at the location.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the requested variance for an additional sign so that they can have two instead of the one. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plump?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and the variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 635 West Victory Drive, variance to front and rear yard setbacks, 24-006581.
All right. Sorry about that. Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here. This is a request at 635 West Victory Drive. This particular petition was continued from the January meeting. We identified an issue at that time. The application came over and it was only noted kind of at the very bottom of it that there were actually two requests, but we wound up not having that meeting. So there were two requests associated with this petition, both for additions to a home built in or about 1950. The petitioner is requesting to increase the maximum permissible front setback and to reduce the minimum required rear setback in the TR3 zoning district in order to permit these front and rear additions, the first for a new entry to the home, the second for an expansion of what we understand to be the master bedroom on the home. The front porch actually would make the dwelling more conforming with regard to the required front setback, taking it from just less than 20 feet up to approximately 12.2 feet. Where 10 feet is the maximum that is permitted within this particular district. And then with regard to the rear, the minimum setback would be 20. This would encroach into that rear setback, extending up to 15.3 feet from the rear property line. So on your screen is an aerial view. This is down on Victory Drive, not far from where it eventually runs into Ogeechee Road. And so I'm looking at the findings. The subject property is about 10,290 square feet in area. It's in Cann Park, and it's currently zoned TR3. It is a conforming parcel within this district, again, containing a dwelling that was built in or about 1950. And it's non-conforming with regard to its current front setback. The home has a building footprint of about 1,324 square feet. These additions would increase that by about 368 square feet. Per the petitioner, this is the rear expansion is anticipated to support either an aging or infirmed resident. That has not been confirmed. It's just information that was provided by the petitioner. And also, again, there's a front addition that is proposed that would make it more conforming with regard to the front setback, but still short of that 10-foot maximum. In looking at the criteria, the proposal is generally consistent with the intent of the ordinance. With the exception that obviously that rear setback encroachment is not ideal under the circumstances. This may be regarded as a hardship by this board. Other than the existing nonconforming status of the structure, there are no special conditions applicable to the site. The request is likely not financial in nature, and it is necessitated by the petitioner's chosen design. I'd just like to show everyone here, if we look aerially, we can see where these are proposed. This would be that front porch or entry. This is the approximate area of the rear expansion. In speaking with the applicant, I was able to kind of convey to him that it might be ideal to eliminate this request by expanding this so that it met the 10 feet. The rear, obviously you all are welcome to have conversation with him about the appropriateness based on the purported use of the expansion. But with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the rear expansion and denial of the front in the interest that an additional just under 2 feet could be added so that it could actually meet the front setback maximum that's permitted. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Any questions for staff? Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Morning again, Dontre Wallace again. Basically, it, just like Mr. Morrow spoke of, there was omission of the front porch. And as you can see on that house, it doesn't have a front entry at all. So we thought it'd make sense to add a front porch. But I think we were looking at between the contract and myself, 8 feet, but we are allowed to go up to 10 feet. So that would be good. And also on the rear, it's more or less just like family property. The family from, they got family in Florida and New York. So when they come down, they just want to be able to have everybody in one place and have enough room for everybody to be comfortable.
So then you are in favor of staff recommendations, both for the approval and the denial?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Any members of the public that wish to speak? Are there any online?
No, sir.
Okay. Mr. Turner, you have anything you want to say?
No, sir.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones?
Not at this time.
Someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant the approval for the rear yard setback from 20 feet to 14 feet and deny the request for the front yard setback from 10 feet to 12.2 feet.
Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant approval for the requested rear yard setback and to deny the request for the maximum front yard setback increase in the maximum front yard setback. Is there a second? Second by Mrs. Jones. Any discussion on the motion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and the one variance is approved and the other one is denied. Next, we're going to hear 605 West 32nd Street and 0 Borough Street variance to minimum lot size and maximum permissible floor area for ADU 24-006741.
Mr. Chairman, I need to recuse myself. I have an involvement in this project.
Thank you, Mr. Ball.
Mr. Chair, Edward Morrow again. This is a request in relation to the property at 605 West 32nd Street and 0 Borough Street. A couple of things I'd like to kind of note for the record at the outset, particularly based on some questions that we had from the public in relation to this petition. This is currently under review for recombination of these two parcels, first and foremost, and then once that recombination has met everyone's requirements, there is the intent to place a principal dwelling here that is a duplex. And so the reason why, with regard to any signage that was posted, any mailers that were sent out, the principal dwelling was not noted is because there are no anticipated variances in association with that construction, which is by right. The parcel is of sufficient area to construct a side-by-side or an over-under duplex in this case. And so the only variances that this board was requested to hear today are two. The first in relation to the insufficiency of the parcel with regard to the 125% minimum lot area required to establish an ADU by right, and then to grant relief from the zoning administrator's interpretation regarding the 40% building footprint maximum for an ADU in relation to the principal dwelling. And so you can see one of the two parcels is outlined here in yellow. The other portion here not outlined in yellow is also within the context, and those are the two parcels that are to be recombined through the course of this petition. And so I'm looking, the two properties measure approximately 6,467 square feet in area. The petitioner submitted survey indicates the property, properties jointly total 5,001 square feet in area. They're both zoned TR1 at present. For anyone who's interested, this is the petition number for the recombination of the two parcels that I mentioned. The lots are presently vacant, and Sanborn maps do show that historically there was a side-by-side duplex located on the parcels, and the petitioner is proposing to establish a side-by-side duplex there, 1,525 square feet in area. with an ADU in the rear, which is proposed to be approximately 610 square feet. And so there have been some interpretations that have gone back and forth with regard to how this standard is to be applied in the context of an over-under duplex as opposed to a side-by-side duplex. And so I think it's significant to note for the record that it is not necessarily the area that's in question if this were a single-family home or if this were an over-under duplex. The ADU that is proposed to be sited would be within the ordinance required maximum if this were either of one of those two configurations. And so an issue that we have been going back and forth is the designation of a principal when the two dwellings are side by side in this context. So I think that's a significant point for consideration in that this actually, there are circumstances under which this would not be a question. We would just be hearing one of these variances rather than two of them. So, and again, section 874 specifically is the one that is in question. Per correspondence with the zoning administrator, only one side of the duplex is counted as the principal dwelling because the definition of dwelling indicates that it contains a single household. And so, in essence, the side of the duplex as is considered the principal dwelling is 762.5, which would permit an ADU of 305 square feet. And so this is the zoning administrator's contention in regard to this particular request. So with that, in looking at the criteria, the proposal is consistent with the intent of the zoning ordinance in that it states that the minimum lot area for an ADU shall be variable upon a determination of the appropriateness by the board. Additionally, the proposed ADU maintains a scale similar to that anticipated in relation to a principal structure on the lot. And so it's not out of scale. This is really just a matter of interpretation. There are no special conditions or circumstances that are applicable here, though. The requested variances are the result of the petitioner's chosen design, and the request could be financially motivated. Literal interpretation would not deprive the petitioner, and the variances are not required to make use of the subject property. And so just to show everyone here, I'm going to zoom out just a little. This is the anticipated duplex that would go here, and you can see the proportion in relation to this structure for the 610 square foot ADU above a garage that is proposed. MPC staff does recommend approval of the request for relief from the minimum 125% lot area required to establish an ADU. Based on a strict application in accordance with the zoning administrator, staff recommends denial of the request to permit the ADU to exceed 40% based on the standards. This is an elevation that you can see for what's proposed. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, Mr. Morrow, can you scroll back down just a little bit? They're requesting to exceed the 40%. If they exceeded it, what is their proposed encroachment into that 40%?
Well, it's 610 as opposed to the 305. Okay. That's the difference in interpretation. So if this were over under, so that the single dwelling constituted the entire bottom floor of this structure, then the 610 is what would be permitted. Because of this interpretation where we're cutting the dwelling in half, and so you've got half on one side that's 700 some odd square feet here, 700 square feet here, it's basing the ADU only on one half.
Right, I understand that part, but then we're looking at two variances. We're going to allow him to exceed, y'all are recommending we allow him to exceed the 125%.
Well, to establish an ADU, but staff is in support of an ADU at this location. We have taken the position in accordance with the zoning administrator and their interpretation with regard to the 40% in relation. But the first variance is simply to allow an ADU to be established on the property. A duplex can be built by right, but because the property is not 125% of the minimum square lot area that's required, for this zoning district, they have to ask for your permission to build an ADU at all.
I see. Any other questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Condon.
I was short of the 125. I'm trying to find it in here. I saw it.
I think it's at 119%.
They're only six.
Yeah. And so then y'all are also recommended that we hold them, grant them that, but they have to be the 40%.
That is the zoning administrator's interpretation, yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? All right, would the petitioner please come forward?
Hi, my name is Brianna Paxton. I'm here representing the property owner South Streets LLC that is looking to redevelop this vacant lot that, from my understanding, has been vacant for quite some time. Just so you're aware, this is in the Kyler Brownville Local Historic District. So once we establish whether an ADU can be built on this property and the size of that ADU, we will be going in front of the HPC to determine the look of those two structures and how they relate to the local historic district guidelines. And as staff shared, the recombination of these two lots is in progress, and they will be addressed 605-607 West 32nd Street. Right now, the larger lot is addressed as 0 Borough Street. As we shared, the context is that we are just shy of the 125% lot area needed to establish an ADU. Again, the redevelopment plan is a side-by-side duplex with a rear ADU. The principal building footprint of the duplex is 1525, and the ADU, I apologize, there's a typo on this slide, it should be 610 square feet, was designed specifically to be 40% of that. We instructed the architect to design this to meet the standards. In discussion with city staff, it was determined that we needed to have an emphasis on the term principal dwelling that is in the ordinance, and therefore are required to split the duplex in half. The reason we're trying to build a side-by-side duplex is because there previously was a side-by-side duplex on this property, and there is an existing historic contributing side-by-side duplex down the street, so we felt it would fit the neighborhood context better. But we are here today asking for 100% or 119% lot area and technically 83% building area size on the ADU due to the interpretation of dwelling. Here is the property in question. As you can see, there's an existing church just to the east of the property. These are additional context photos showing that there are other accessory dwellings or accessory structures down the lane. There are existing two-story houses in the vicinity. There is a property across the street with an addition on the rear and another church behind that. And then the bottom right is a view west down West 32nd Street towards Kyler Park. I brought up the Sanborn map here again to point out the previous side-by-side duplex that was on this property. And also to point out that this area has been completely reconfigured, I believe in the 1970s or 1980s and early 1990s when the city created Kyler Park. So this West 32nd Lane doesn't exist anymore. But as you can see, there were considerably more dwellings in this area previously. And that church just to the east of us remains. Here is our example side-by-side duplex that's just down the block, but in eyesight of this property. So again, here is our site plan of a 1,525 square foot duplex, side-by-side duplex, where each tenant will have a small porch on the front to sit in and a slight deck on the back, and then the two-car garage on the first floor, and then one-bedroom apartment on the upstairs will be accessed off steel staircase on the south side. I also wanted to point out that the property owner expects to deed this property to their son, who recently moved back here and is working in the construction industry. And so this will be his home ownership opportunity. He will live in one unit and rent out the other two units. So it's an opportunity for him to, you know, lessen his housing costs as he is establishing his career here in Savannah. But I did want to point out that it will be partially owner-occupied.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Any other questions, or does anyone have questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much. So excuse me if I mispronounce this because it's hard to read. Tommy Wartley? Good morning.
How you doing?
Good, good. Please state your name for the record. And
Tommy Whaley.
Sir.
Good morning. Latrina Johnson.
Good morning.
All right. I'm just stating about the property over in Ryan Hill where I stayed at all my time. And it's going to be inconvenient in that area because it's too tight, as I know, for being there before they reconstruct everything. And at this moment right here, they might not stand up to it because people not in that area have finance to carry through affording in that area. We the only family member totally could do what they're going to build. Other than that, nobody else.
Yeah. He's been here since 68 years.
68
years. He lived there. He was born there in the house right across the street. So the neighborhood is kind of concerned about what's going to go on with that lot and everything. And for a duplex to go up there, to me, it's just too large. It's already a lot of
contact already.
It's already a lot of houses in that area, a lot of duplex in that area, and it's getting too congested.
Okay. Anything?
Mr. Whaley, I'm his friend. I'm just trying to give him support. So him and his sister, Shirley, on Royalston. She's the owner of the property. She's the one that saw this going on. And she wasn't able to make it here this morning. So I came to support Tommy Whaley and to try to explain what he's trying to say as best as possible.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Whaley.
Thank you. Okay.
Any other members of the public that wish to speak? Okay. Would the petitioner like to come and rebut public comment? Thank you, Mr. Whaley.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brianna Paxton, representative of South Streets LLC, the property owner. I just wanted to reiterate that the duplex is allowed by right and meets all the development standards. And today we're here to establish whether an ADU is appropriate and what the size of that ADU would be.
No other members of the public that wish to speak. Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No comment.
Mr. Condon?
This is, I think, similar to the situation we had at the beginning of the meeting where there's a bit of a technicality. If it was an over-under unit, the ADU size would not be in question. It's because the building is set up as a side-by-side to mimic something down the street, that they get half the footprint that they really are entitled to. So I really don't see a problem with the ADU piece of it.
What about the other piece? So there's two recommendations to approve the 125% being calculated from the entire square footage instead of half, and I get that. What about the denial for the, so then they could build up to 40% of that entire footprint?
If they had.
And they're wanting to exceed that 40%.
So the actual footprint of the house that's there now, or will be built, excuse me, would be 1,525 square feet. So he doesn't need an approval for the 40% max if he builds garden level styles. You know, like,
right. So he can build it by right. What
he can build it by right if we grant him the approval. He's at 119%, so he's asking for 6% lot coverage, lot size minimum to build the ADU. If we approve that, then if he builds a garden style instead of the side by side, if he says, well, fine, if I can't do it, you know, if I get denied, he's not going to build a 600 square foot. So he'll come back, change the plan, and then he's going to build it by right.
By right, yeah.
Right. So the reality of it is again, it's just because of how the house is being designed, the duplex, the city, the law requires you to pick a side and say that's your primary residence. So instead of it being 1,525 square feet, it's 762 and a half. And so 40% is 762. And a half is not usable.
Right, which I think you said before is a textbook case of why we're here. Yeah. So Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say? Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant petitioner's request for variance for the relief of the 125% lot coverage area required to establish the ADU, and that we grant the variance requested to exceed the 40% maximum floor area in relation to the principal dwelling.
Okay, Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the request for a variance for relief from the 125% rule for lot coverage, and grant the variance to exceed the 40% max, excuse me, maximum. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Turner. Any discussion? Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the requested variances, or the variances are granted. Next, we're going to hear 238 Alfred Street, variance to accessory structure heights, building coverage size for outdoor storage 25-000582.
There we go. All right. So this is probably the most unique thing I think we're going to see for some time. This is a request in relation to an RV. I feel like we don't talk about RVs very often around here. So there are four requests that are associated with Mr. Fussell's request to basically store his RV on his lot here in the city. The first is to increase the height of an accessory structure to permit it to be taller than the principal, to increase the permissible size of an accessory structure as it relates to the principal, to increase the length and height of an outdoor storage for a personal recreational vehicle, and to allow parking of an unhitched trailer in a residential district. All right, and so you can see another one of my disclaimers is that these three parcels will need to be recombined. So this assumes that recombination will take place, in essence, these three particular parcels. And so in looking at facts and findings, we are located within the Woodville neighborhood. 238 and 0 Alfred Street are approximately 7,100 square feet each. 0 Division Street is approximately 14,000 square feet. And so the square footage of all three combined is 28,200. And the properties are zoned RSF6. RSF6 is a residential single family zoning district requiring 6,000 square feet in area. There's a principal structure at 238 Alfred Street built in or about 1945. It has an existing building footprint of about 1,466 square feet. There's also a detached garage that overlaps on the properties at 238 and 0 Alfred Street. The detached garage is 903 square feet. It's substantial in size. The vast majority of this land area is vacant, obviously, because it's in excess of 28,000 square feet, so it is sizable. The petitioner is, through all of these requests, attempting to build an accessory structure to be used as a carport for their RV. That's ultimately what they'd like to do. And so they're relief from four standards that's required to permit that. The first is that it's going to be taller than their house. The second is that it's going to be larger than is ordinarily permitted for an accessory structure. The third says that recreational vehicles and watercraft shall not exceed 22 feet in length. Their RV is longer than is permitted storage within the city's current zoning context. And finally, it says that basically when this is stored on your property, it has to be hitched up to some sort of a vehicle. And so their request is to permit this to be stored unhitched. So that's what the four references here are for. In looking at consistency, this isn't consistent with the intent of the ordinance. This is a configuration that is much more common in a rural setting. I would expect to see this out in Chatham County or further out. But the petitioner is the owner of all of the subject properties, and he is not creating a non-conforming piece of property through this recombination. So if at some point in the future someone desired to cut this back up into pieces that are consistent with the current zoning regimen, that is completely permissible. So in that regard, it is consistent in that this is not going to create a permanently non-conforming situation. There are no special conditions or unique circumstances. Again, other than that, this is a context that, you know, combines several large pieces of property that are somewhat outlying from the downtown core. The requested variances are the result of the petitioner's chosen design, but they are likely not financial in nature. Literal interpretation would not deprive the petitioner of rights commonly enjoyed by other similarly situated properties. The variance is also not required to make use of the property. And so this is for demonstration purposes only, just so you can see the intent of the petitioner. This is the type of structure that they would erect for the purpose of housing their RV. This is not within the scope. This was the exhibit that we received. It's these three parcels. And so in relation to those property lines, you can see here how this canopy would be installed. And so with that, simply because of the inconsistency with the intent of the ordinance, staff recommends denial of the four variances. But the petitioner is here to speak to you about the nature of their request.
Mr. Morrow, can you scroll back and let's see that picture, the aerial view where it shows it in relation to the adjacent industrial type stuff all the way back at the beginning.
Okay.
Right there. Mm-hmm. So this is Market Street. And I'm listening, Alfred Street goes west and empties out into Highway 80, right?
Yes.
And these warehouses and all that are adjacent. How far away from the primary structure are they proposing to put this RV fort?
So the primary structure is in about this location right here.
Okay.
On the subject parcel. This is the garage. I can actually help us out just a little. This is the garage that straddles both property lines. And despite the tree cover, actually, there's not much difference in the size of these two. Okay. I believe one is about 1,200 square feet. The other is about 900. So for reference, that's what's sitting under here. And this would be separated by, it looks to be about 15, 20 feet. We did kind of walk through how the RV would come in. And so we see this is unopened. I guess the expectation is that you would drive in here on Market and enter the back and pull it in through here. And there's some tracks there that sort of evidence that property owners here are using this unimproved Division Street to access from the rear.
So that is actually a street or a public right-of-way of some kind?
It is public right-of-way.
And it's not paved?
It is not paved.
And those are two actually dwellings on either side of this property?
That's correct.
Okay. Mr. Condon, you have any questions? Please go ahead.
If he doesn't build the structure to cover the RV, does he need a variance to park the RV in the backyard?
He would. It would still exceed the length that's permitted. It permits up to 22 feet. They're in excess of 30 feet.
Okay.
Also, it would need to be needs to be hitched up to a truck or a vehicle of some sort.
It just says vehicle.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions for staff? None. Thank you very much. Would petitioner please come forward?
Yeah, somebody's had some knee surgery, so a few of you can relate. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, also board members. My name is Les Fussell. This is my wife, Janice Fussell. She's actually the property owner and the petitioner. I am representing this, and I'm going to present this to you and kind of walk you through this. This is not your normal request that you hear for a side setback, front setback, anything else. However, it is a request put an accessory building, and I want to keep this in context. If you refer to the, and I'll be making some references to the staff's fact and finding item 2, which is 238 Alfred Street and also 0 Alfred Street,
historically, we know that these are non-conforming lots. Historically, we don't know when they were divided. At some time up until about the late 1980s, there were actually two houses there. My wife's uncle actually owned all of these properties. He demolished the other house because it was actually too close. So we were left with the lots as they are. So we're trying to work through it to make it fit the ordinance and also kind of putting a square peg in a round hole. We are currently working with the surveyor for the recombination. We have done the preliminary field work. We put the surveyor on hold to make sure that we were going to be able to go forward with the accessory building before we expend the money for a recombination and also the time and energy there. I will mention, as someone pointed out, Division Street from Market Street to the Dundee Canal, which is halfway down Alfred Street, just before you get to Fair Street, is unimproved. It's never been improved. We actually own the property that you see next door at 185 Division Street. We purchased that from, what, 4 years ago?
4 or 5 years.
About 4 years ago. So we actually own not only the lots that we are combining and the lots to the east, but also 185 Division Street. In reference to item 5, section 8.7.3.D, our measurements, when we did the measurements on the principal resident at 238 Alfred Street, because this will eventually be the principal resident, we measured it at 16.5. The accessory building will be 16.8 at the highest peak. So really the difference is 3 inches. The actual accessory building will be approximately 45 feet from the principal building. I don't think anybody would notice. However, in staff notes, they identified that the resident is 16.8 and that the accessory building was 16.8. If we all agreed at 16.8, then we don't need this variance. It can go away. But I will tell you that based on my measurements, based on the engineering, there's a difference of 3 inches between the principal resident and the accessory building. Item 6, this is section 8.7.3.E.II, referring to the existing building footprint of the primary structure. When we did our calculations, we used the heated square footage, which is 1,254, and that is confirmed on the tax records of Chatham County. Instead of 1,466 full footprint, that includes two porches. So if you were to use full footprint in comparison to the accessory building, the difference is 224 foot, and it's only 15% of an increase in the required area variance instead of 25. So that could be reduced. You know, as I said, I use the heated square footage versus the footprint of the principal residence. So that could be amended. Item 7, which is reference section 8.7.16.A.I in typical height of the fifth wheeler. Prior to the meeting, I distributed some information referencing Camping World. Camping World is a U.S.-wide RV sales. It shows that the average fifth wheel RV is between 20 feet and 49 feet. The average height of the fifth wheels today are 13 feet, 5 inches. If you reference that article, you'll see that our 34-foot RV is really on the mean. That's the difference between 20 and 49. So we don't have the largest RV. We just have an RV that needs to be parked. Parking of an unhitched trailer. I was unaware of this requirement by the ordinance until we had our meeting with John Anagosta and Mr. Brad Clemens. They brought this to our attention. I don't know how you park an RV and not unhitch it for a long-term storage, because I have a Ford F-350 that is also my daily drive vehicle. So finally, what I would propose is we can agree that based on staff's notes, which will actually go into the record, that the height is 16.8 for both the accessory building and also that the residence, and that variance requirement goes away. The variance for the floor space from 25 to 15 based on using the footprint of 1466. The square footage actually of the accessory building is 810 square feet. And then, of course, the third variance request of the length and the height. Unfortunately, I can't change that. And then the request for parking of the unhitched vehicle to the trailer, that, of course, is going to have to be a requested variance. You know, we did meet with the Woodville Community Action Organization on February 12th. I understand that they have submitted a request and to speak today. I will be more than happy, you know, to hear what they have to say. I did also distribute to you a letter from one of the adjoining property owners, Mr. Lloyd Pike, that is now in your records. And also we have talked with our adjoining neighbor to the east, and that, excuse me, to the west, and that is Mr. Floyd Cohen. Unfortunately, he did not provide me a letter. However, he does agree that this is not going to be any infringement on what he considers to be ugly or in any way impact his property values. And like I say, we are working with a surveyor and recombination. I have the application completed, but I have not submitted it because there's a financial involvement for getting that recombination. I don't want to move forward if I can't do the building. We do currently live in Richmond Hill. It is our intent at some time we're in the process of actually renovating the house. Since we took possession of the house, we have installed a central air heating system. We've had to upgrade the electrical systems to support that. We are doing some major renovations to the house because really hasn't been touched in several years, but it's going to take us a while to get to the point where we think that we can downsize and, you know, move into that property. I'll let my wife speak, but that's actually where she grew up, is on what we consider the hill.
I'm Janice Fussell, and I grew up on Alfred Street, went to the local schools and so forth. I would like to say one of the things that we've been asked is somebody going to be living in this? No. There will be no electricity. There will be no sewer or no water going to it. It is simply just for storage. And we want it to look nice. I don't want to put something in my yard that I wouldn't want to look at every day. And I would like, if approved, to make sure that there's some greenery around it so that it doesn't look bad to any neighbor or anything like that.
Okay. Let me ask you something. You I might have got a little confused. Obviously, you own everything outlined in yellow on the picture.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, plus.
What else? What else in the picture is?
If you look at this picture, the lot that is next to the resident, yes, and then the lot to – well, the empty lot that we're wanting to put the unit on, okay, plus the lot next to it, to the right.
The two lots that are actually adjoining to the right-hand side.
Okay, the front one and the back one.
Yes.
On the right-hand side. Yes. You own those.
Basically from Alfred Street back to Division Street. Because Division Street actually ends at the end of 138 Alf or Division Street.
185.
185, excuse me.
Mr. Pike sent the letter. Which one of these is his?
He owns the next two properties. You see a house that's 232 Alfred Street, and he has the back lot.
The two lots in the back, yeah, or one lot.
One lot in the back. The two lots next door to his property just resold, and okay, I'm sorry. You know I get in trouble every time I touch it. So these two lots here we own.
Okay.
These two lots her brother owns, Mr. Pike. These two lots just recently sold, and there's a house that they are going to refurbish at some point, but they are not. They're not any. But we've only met them one time.
Okay, and then the stuff to the left is not anything to do with you.
This,
no.
This house here is Mr. Floyd Cohen and his wife, Grace. Of course, they're our neighbors. Mr. Patel owns this property here on the corner as a rental property, and this property back here, which is listed as actually 248 Alfred Street, but actually it faces Market Street, is a rental property as well.
Okay.
Now there is there's a vegetation tree buffer all along this fence line. There is plenty of tree buffer all the way around this property. So really from, if you're looking at it from Alfred Street, or if you're looking at it from Market Street, there, you know, it's partially hidden. So there is a considerable vegetation buffer.
Any other questions for the petitioner? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mrs. Anderson, would you like to come forward?
Good morning. Pamela Anderson, Woodville Community President. We had our meeting on February 12th, and Mr. Fussell came and explained. And the residents are opposed to the structure for the RV. We have had 5 active cases from code enforcement with these RVs ever since COVID. We've had different ethnics move into the community, and we've had some that's in the community, and they are bringing in these RVs, and they're not staying in the homes. They're staying in the RVs. So you have all kinds of problems. One case is just closed with them removing one. They're staying in them. I know that's not your case, but this is what we're having to deal with because code enforcement has an issue with doing their job. So we are opposed to the height of it as opposed to the house because the house is not higher than the structure will be. And we also have a problem with if we allow this and we already have 5 active cases now with code enforcement because of the issues, something needs to be done before it gets out of hand. And we are opposed to this because of that issue. And when we speak with code enforcement, there is a problem and there are ordinances in place that should be adhered to. And that is what I have to say about it.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Mr. Fussell, would you like to rebut public comment?
Yes, sir, I would. In fact, I am aware of the illegal, and I will use that term, illegal RVs. And Woodville, Alfred Street, King Street, all of that area, they're not unique. This is a problem throughout the county, throughout the city. All you got to do is drive around. We are asking permission to build a respectable, nice storage facility for RV.
We travel on average 6 to 7 months out of the year. So it's not like our RV is going to be sitting there all the time. As my wife stated, no power, no water, no sewer, nobody lives in it. That's our RV, and it's only for recreational travel. Like I say, we put somewhere 7 months out of the year, 15,000 to 20,000 miles traveling the United States. We're both retired, and code enforcement does have an issue, but I don't think it's relevant. And I appreciate Ms. Pamela bringing this and stating that. You know, when we were in the meeting and I made the presentation, I asked if there was any questions. Nobody had any questions. The people that were there, nobody came to me and said, I don't like it. Nobody had any outcry. In her letter, she mentions the fact that if it's not allowed in Richmond Hill by their HOA, I take exception to that. I do live in Richmond Hill. I stored my RV in Richmond Hill at the marina RV storage until it was damaged by the last storm. It's not available to me anymore. I'd have to go find somewhere else. We had been working on this project with her uncle prior to his passing back in October. These are facts. They're not stated. I didn't see that they were relevant. Like I say, we do intend to reside at this resident. I don't have an HOA where I live. Today, my RV is sitting in my driveway, has been since December. I'll just tell you that it's turned into quite a ordeal in trying to get the building permit, put a concrete slab, and put up an aluminum storage building. So I would ask that you approve the variances. Like I say, the height variance totaled, by my guess, 3 inches. Okay? If we all agree that staff says that the building, that the primary residence is 16.8, then I'll gladly go with 16.8 and that height variance goes away. I'll also have already proven that we can reduce the variance for the square footage from 25 to 15. It's a difference in the calculations. Can't do anything about the size of your RV. If you would like, I'll show you a picture of my RV. It's a 2020 Cedar Creek RV, actually in your packet, the piece that I gave you this morning. That's manufactured by Forest River. You can look at the recommendations for size and length on the Forest River RVs. Ours is well maintained. So I do object to the reasonings that they put into their letter from the association. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. I want to begin board discussion just to say that this is a rather unusual request. The man is requesting rather than doing like some of those other cases. And typically, I mean, I'm against the structures exceeding the primary structure, like it says in the ordinance, but that seems to be a matter of debate between measurement and 3 inches isn't a lot. He owns the properties next to it and it is in this industrial area. And I certainly won't be voting unless there is a tie, but I don't see any problem with granting these variances. And with that, Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Only that I agree with you on the point of obviously the RV is a legit issue that's in several locations throughout Savannah. And it seems that he's trying at least to go through the right path to get it done correctly.
Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think I agree with you that, you know, 3 inches or not is not a lot. He could probably dig down 6 inches or do some kind of gymnastics to make it conforming. And, you know, the sight lines are not affected, the trees are not affected, and he's otherwise following other laws, it does seem like it could work.
Mr. Plunk, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, sir.
Mr. Condon?
No, thank you.
Mrs. Jones?
My question would be whether or not they can find someplace else to store this RV other than where you're requesting.
Ms. Jones, there is several storage facility places within the city, the county. The biggest issue is security. We've never had our RV vandalized or anything in where we had it parked or at any time. But the difference was I was parked to a $500,000 boat, and my RV was not of anybody's interest considering a boat next month. I don't know what the cost is here, but I can tell you from an economic standpoint, if I invest my money into a building on my property, I have a return on my investment versus paying rent to somebody to store my vehicle for however long. The problem we had with our last storage was, as I said, we travel extensively. I was actually paying a monthly retainer to keep my spot because there is a lot of people that have RVs that need to store them. And, you know, if you pull it out and you don't pay your rent every time that you leave, then your spot's not going to be there and it may not be a spot available to you at another time. So the answer is yes, but I prefer not to do it. I want to put that investment right back into our property.
Okay. My other question would be, right now you're not staying on this property, right?
No, ma'am, we are not. We're in the process of renovating this property.
Okay. So, you know, and the reason I'm saying that, because if you put it there and you're not staying on the property, you still have the same problem of somebody vandalizing. You know, how would you be able to address that?
Well, because I actually have a Wi-Fi security system in my RV that if you rock the boat, rock the door, I get a notification. That's my way of securing my property.
I think their intent is to eventually be staying on the property.
Okay.
Is to eventually move there. My daughter would like to move into my house, and Janice and I, you know, we're in our 70s. It's time to downsize. So we'll be doing that in the next, you know, while. Like I say, right now we're already investing in the house to make it more modern, accommodating. But, you know, hey, house was built in 1940. We got to do some upgrades.
Right.
And we're doing that through the permitting process. I myself am a contractor. I own a contracting company. I sat on the Richmond Hill Planning and Zoning Board for 15 years. I was a city council member for 6 years. I sat here on the MPO board for 2 years and the TCC chairman for a year. So in my heart, I can't do it illegally.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
If there's no other board discussion, would someone care to make a motion?
I move that we approve the variances to increase height. Well, 1 through 4 of the requested variances.
Could you scroll back up so I can see those, please? Okay, so Mr. Turner has made a motion to approve all requested variances. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mr. Ball. Any discussion? Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and all requested variances are granted. Next, we're going to hear 8730 Rivers End Drive, variance to reduce the side yard setback in a RSF E zoning district. 25-000529.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. This is a request at 8730 Rivers Inn Drive, in association with a minor subdivision. The subject property is zoned RSFE, and there are presently residences. The intent is to create a new parcel for a future residence at the rear. This is kind of an aerial view of the subject parcel. You can see that we're in kind of a marsh context here. The RSFE district is the residential single family estate zoning district, and this requires that each parcel be at least 1 acre in area to subdivide. So, in essence, you are being asked for relief from side setbacks in relation to existing dwellings that are on the property. At present, the subdivision that is proposed would leave those dwellings a little bit too close to the side property line that's proposed. There's about 14 feet on one side, 15 feet on the other, where 20 feet is the minimum that is required. Essentially, the only thing that's at issue is that setback, but the newly proposed lot is about 90,000 square feet in of itself, just that one piece of it. So each of these parcels, the ones to be created with the existing dwellings, are 1 acre, slightly in excess of 1 acre. The new one that does not presently contain a residence, but that would, if variance relief is granted, is about 90,000 square feet, just to give you exactly. The one thing that I would say is significant here is that ultimately this is going to hinge on the approval of the Chatham County Health Department to ensure that there is a adequate, you know, there's adequate soils for a septic tank drain field and replacement drain field. Even once this variance relief is approved, this will go on and cannot be subdivided until approved by the Chatham County Health Department. But staff does recommend approval of this because this does satisfy the zoning requirements for subdivision. And just to show everyone here, I'll come here and show you the variance exhibit. It's a little bit clearer. So you can see, these are the two existing dwellings. The two variances that are requested, here's one 15.3. This is 15.3 feet is where that would sit after that line is confirmed, and then 14 feet on this side. And the new potential parcel is this area that's back here. Obviously, we would expect a building envelope to be drawn here so that we can understand where the proposed dwelling would go. I would expect we're going to see it somewhere in this area, but you can see that the newly proposed parcel is 93,000 square feet, just over 2 acres. So with that, again, staff does recommend approval, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Morrow. Are there any questions for staff? All right. Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward? Mr. Fussell, I just wanted to tell you, you're welcome to stay, but you don't have to stay any further if you don't want to. Okay.
Hey, I'm Colby Phillips. I'm the property owner. I think Chad Zittrauer is listed as the petitioner, but he's doing all the engineering. Everything's kind of been said. We're just looking to subdivide the property to build a residence for our family on the back portion of the property. Potentially, my wife's parents would move into one of the houses once we are in the back eventually. But that's kind of the plan. Always has been the plan for the property. We don't plan to sell any of it ever. Obviously, we own the two houses that are where the variance is being asked in between on the setback. But that pretty much covers it.
Okay. Is there any questions for the petitioner? Mr. Connor?
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
Morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you. The new parcel would be accessed via the existing driveway that's there, yes?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions for petitioner? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Are you here?
Good morning, board members. Patricia Snell, 8735 Rivers End Drive.
Morning.
I live at the other side of Rivers End from the petitioner, and I'm here in support. It is a legitimate reason to reduce the setback for this subdivision. So, any questions?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Any other members of the public wish to speak? All right, and I guess you don't have any rebuttal for that since it was in favor. Yeah. So, Mr. Ball, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
Mr. Turner?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones? Mr. Conan?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
All right. Would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we approve the subdivision request for a variance for subdivision requests as proposed.
Okay. Mr. Condon has made a motion to approve the request for a reduction in side yard setbacks. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. There's no discussion on the motion. Mr. Ball, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
All right. The motion passes and variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear 501 Rivers End Drive, variance to front and rear yard setbacks, 25-000623.
I'm sorry, Martin. I didn't purposefully put you last. So out on Rivers End Drive, once again, we have an existing nonconforming structure. This structure was in place prior to the adoption of NUZO. And so a subsequent subdivision left it in kind of an interesting configuration. So the petitioner is requesting a variance to reduce the front yard setback from 40 feet to 30 feet and a rear yard, a reduction of the rear yard setback from 40 feet to 20 feet for a porch and garage, again, to an existing nonconforming dwelling that's on this RSFE zoned parcel. I'm actually just going to jump down to this diagram to show here we go. So what you're seeing here is the building envelope for this parcel. That's what this line is right here. It is a very long and narrow parcel. And so once NUZO was applied, again, you had an existing structure that is the darker portion of what you see here. And so how you can see how any modification to this structure is going to prompt the need for variance relief, quite simply because this is just a very narrow, I believe something like a 14, or that might be the contour line. I'm not quite sure. Anyway, the building envelope is very, very narrow. Any type of addition would prompt variance relief. And so with that, MPC staff does recommend approval of these requests to reduce the front and rear setbacks, and I'll allow Martin to expound on his proposal.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions for staff? All right. Thank you. Would the petitioner please come forward?
Hey, Martin Ramasegi, representing the owner. I think Mr. Morrow did a great job explaining everything. So what we're trying to do is add a garage to the house next to it. And as he was saying, if we did any kind of addition at all, even if we wanted to build this existing house, we would need variance requests just because of the way the lot was divided. What we call the front yard now used to be the side yard, and what we're calling the backyard used to be also the side yard. So really, just answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner? Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Mrs. Snell, you want to come back?
Definitely.
I think you enjoy this.
I'm also a city planner. So once again, Patricia Snell, 8735 Rivers End Drive. I'm about four houses up and across the street. The addressing on Rivers End Drive is really wonky. But I'm here in support of this petition for the relief of the side setback requirements. Current setbacks make this lot undevelopable and unbuildable. So if this house didn't exist right now, you would not be able to actually construct a house using the existing setbacks. So I am for the applicant's request to have, the relief from the side setbacks so they can put their porch and their garage on. So any questions? I'm here.
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Barr.
don't need to speak, but ditto.
Okay, thank you. Any other people want to make public comment? All right. And since I guess there's no rebuttal to that, Mr. Turner, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Mr. Ball?
No.
Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
No, sir.
Mrs. Jones? Okay, would someone care to make a motion?
I make a motion that we accept staff recommendation and approve the variance as requested.
All right, Mr. Conan has made a motion to approve the request of variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Turner?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Ball?
Yes.
All right, motion passes and variance is granted. And no other items on the agenda, we will adjourn.